Let's kick off with the overall markets today. Delighted to say I'm joined in the studio by Gary White, Chief Investment Commentator at Charles Stanley Direct. Good afternoon, Gary. Good to have you here.
Hi, good afternoon.
So let's start with the US and the healthcare vote. So Donald Trump is trying to repeal President Obama's Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, and it looks like Trump may not get his replacement bill through. Why is this vote important to the likes of us over here in the UK, Gary?
It's very important because it shows he can get things done. The rally in markets on both sides of the Atlantic really has been down to discounting his potential tax cuts. You know, he wants to bring corporate tax down to 15% in the US, and also his infrastructure plans. However, he made a slightly odd political decision. I mean, it is politics to do the difficult one, healthcare first, because you know, Paul Ryan and the rest of the Republicans are going to be completely behind him on tax cuts. The
sure.
Republicans love tax cuts.
Yeah.
And it would have been, you know, they'd have got it through really quickly. But he's focused on healthcare. It appears that he overpromised and he's about to underdeliver. And, you know, it's arguable that he doesn't really want much debate around this bill and wants to rush it through because it doesn't look as if it's what he promised of cheaper and better healthcare for Americans. There are going to be people in a few years' time that fall out of the healthcare system, it appears, under this. So it shows that he can get things done if he gets this through. If he can't get his healthcare thing through tonight, then the gains in the market are at risk.
So have you seen any impact on the market so far? It's more what you think might happen.
Well, there was a little wobble earlier this week, and then markets have been basically in a holding pattern since then, waiting to find out what happened. There was, you know, a hope to be a vote last night. It looks like there won't be one later on today. It may or may not go through. There's still lots of talking going on Capitol Hill. Some Republicans think that the bill's going too far. Some think it's not going far enough. We shall see. But, you know, President Trump has been very long on rhetoric and he needs to be longer on action. Otherwise, you know, people will be worried where they can actually get the tax cuts through.
I mean, I guess if he fails to get Obamacare or his replacement, Obamacare replacement through, he potentially still could cut the taxes. As you say, there is support for that amongst the Republicans.
Oh, yes, yes, there is. But you know, it just shows that, you know, the people will worry. And, you know, markets, they can turn on a sixpence on sentiments. On sentiment, they get very concerned. So it's just a worry for investors because what's priced in now is pricing in what could happen, not what actually has happened.
So you think there's a good chance US markets could fall over the next couple of weeks?
I think it's entirely possible. I mean, I am sort of the opinion that gains have got ahead of themselves anyway, especially when it comes to the infrastructure side of things, because there aren't very many shovel-ready projects out there. So it will take some time to get things moving on the ground and these earnings coming through onto the balance sheets of companies, because look at us with our HS2 and our nuclear power stations and all these things we've been trying to build. It takes a long time.
So would you say you think the US market looks more overvalued than other markets around the world, say the UK or the European markets? When you look at things like price earnings ratios at first glance, it's
yes,
more expensive.
I think they are more expensive. They are pricing in these tax cuts. These tax cuts will be fantastic for our corporate earnings point of view when they happen. I was on the instituted focus on that first because it's the easiest thing to get through. I mean, Paul Ryan doesn't want as hefty cuts as President Trump has promised, but they will be able to do a deal.
Yeah, I mean, my goodness, for what it's worth, my expectation is the healthcare won't get sorted out. There will be big tax cuts in the end. And what you were suggesting, there won't be much in terms of extra infrastructure spending. That's my prediction for what it's worth.
Yes,
well, I could easily be wrong.
If that comes true, then I do think markets have got ahead of themselves in the US.
Okay, well, let's go on to Smiths Group, a big engineering conglomerate. They do healthcare and airport security and all sorts of other stuff. They've put out some first half results, and I see revenues are up 18%. Is that all down to the weaker pound, Gary, do you think, or mostly?
It's partly as well. I mean, this company's been in trouble for a number of years. It had a series of profit warnings, and then they got a new chief executive in, about 18 months ago now, and there were some expectations that you might break up the business, because like you said, it's quite a disparate business. They produce the scanners that you go through in airports, which is quite topical this week with the iPad ban. They produce equipment from the oil and gas sector. That's what's been causing them problems of late. But I think people are now starting to see that he's getting a handle on the business. He said all along he's not going to break the company up. And today's results provide some reassurance to investors that isn't actually a terrible idea keeping the company together. It's a good thing that he's doing. So it's partly because, you know, revenues were slightly better than expected. A lot of it is down to the pound, but people are now starting to get behind this turnaround strategy.
I see the shares are up 35p. That's just over 2% at £15.91. I mean, you're saying, Gary, that it doesn't look like they're going to break it up anytime soon, but it's fair to say Smiths Group, it's quite an unusual beast in today's stock market. 30, 40 years ago, we had lots of conglomerates doing all sorts of different businesses. The fashion changed. Investors said, we want companies that do one thing. And then if we want to invest in beer, we can invest in a beer company. If we want to invest in property, we can invest in a property company. How come Smiths Group has this, what is now, for now anyway, a very unconventional approach of being a conglomerate with healthcare, with airport scanners and a whole lot of other things?
I mean, fundamentally, it is an engineering company. So, you know, you can drill down and say there are aspects that are reflected in these different types of businesses. But, for example, it has, you know, it has been a good thing where during the downturn in the oil market that it's had other businesses that can take up the slack, because it has suffered, John Crane business suffered seriously from the downturn in the oil industry. And the same argument is issued by the management of AB Foods. You know, they have a food business and Primark, and they argue that, you know, when the high street isn't doing too badly. I mean, this is the argument for having a conglomerate. And as you say, they are not very popular anymore, but there are a number of them around still.
OK, well, let's go on to executive pay, which I know is one of you, something you feel particularly strongly about, Gary. And Cress Nicholson, they had a vote at their AGM yesterday on the latest pay package for the senior executives. 58% of the votes at the meeting were against the package, but the board are going to ignore the vote anyway. What are your thoughts on this, Gary?
Well, they reduced their profit targets, and they didn't reduce their bonuses in proportion. So they made it easier to get their bonuses. I'm quite pleased that, you know, people are now starting again to vote against these remuneration reports. We had the shareholder spring a few years ago, which didn't really take off. And Theresa May, you know, she was saying she wants to do something to cap excessive boardroom pay. And it's a very complex issue, but it really needs to be handled. You know, my big issue with it is awarding shares to chief executives and not taking account of the income stream that provides them, because over the long term that income stream is extremely valuable, especially if you take compounding into account. And, you know, when you say this is the figure at the end of what your bonus is, it doesn't take into account any of that at all. And I think it should do. I mean, by some sort of discount mechanism, you know, it will be complicated because you can't guarantee, you know, what the dividend on a company is going to be in a number of years, but they're being gifted income streams for life that are really, really valuable. So I do believe that there is some excess in chief executive pay in the UK, and it really does need to be resolved. It's very difficult, though.
Do we need to change the law so that votes at company general meetings become binding? The board can't ignore these votes anymore.
I think we will have to if we're going to get it under control, because, you know, history suggests that without doing that, it won't come under control.
But is there a danger then that companies might end up being forced to rewrite the contracts they've already agreed with the chief executives? Is there a danger that we lose the best talent because they say, well, we'd rather go to the States where we can earn more money, which is appropriate for our skills and general brilliance?
Well, there's always that argument, but, you know, our chief executives will always argue that they've got general brilliance above everybody else. That's a statement which I don't necessarily agree with most of the time. So I don't think that, you know, they will always argue that. I think we really do need to do something about it because it is getting out of control.
OK, well, let's move on to the Eurozone there. We've had some figures on the Purchasing Managers Index, the PMI. These figures from an organisation called Market. They're kind of assessing how confident businesses are feeling. And the latest figures for February for the Eurozone, up from 56.0 to 56.7. Those are good figures. And the crucial point, better than expected by analysts. So why have things gone a bit better than people thought, do you think, Gary?
Well, I'm quite positive on the Eurozone. The you know, corporate earnings are going from a relatively low level. And, you know, with all the political situation that's going on with the elections coming up in Germany and in France, everything, you know, there is a discount on the European market. But, you know, underneath all that, the economy is doing pretty well. They're starting to recover. We have some problems with Greece. And so I'm quite optimistic about the Eurozone. Once we move through the political situation, get the French and the German elections over in particular later this year, then, you know, we could see quite a rally in Europe.
Do you think, actually, well, we only need to worry about the French election. OK, they're fine. There's a chance that Le Pen could become president and she could introduce some major radical policy changes. But in Germany, surely, actually, there's not so much to worry about. You might get the SPD, the Social Democrats. They wouldn't be that much different from what we've got now.
No, well one would hope so. But, you know, we learned last year that politics can move in very unusual directions.
OK, fair enough. Also worth noting that the German PMI figures were particularly strong. So their economy, as ever, is doing well and helping the rest of the European economy. Staying in Europe, the European Central Bank's chief economist Peter Praet, in some comments, has stood by the ECB's current sort of fairly lax monetary policy, buying bonds through to the end of this year, seeing no need to change the current policy. You're relatively upbeat about the Eurozone. Does that mean actually the ECB should think about tightening up more quickly then?
I'm relatively optimistic about the Northern Eurozone.
Okay.
So, you know, that's the issue with Europe. You can argue from both cases just because of the completely different economic situation in the North and in the South. So, you know, you have to consider the Southern European economies and you need to fix those. I mean, I hate to get to political, but it highlights just, you know, why people argue that the euro is not necessarily a great idea when you're looking at this sort of situation. So, yeah, you know, I'm quite positive on the way things are going in Europe. But I think keeping these unusual monetary policies to the end of the year and particularly informing the market for a sense of stability that this is what's happening is a particularly good thing to do.
What do you think will happen in 2018? Do you think the ECB will then begin to tighten up then?
I think they're possibly going to have to. I think we'll be tightening here in the UK possibly sooner than many people think. If the pace of US interest rates goes and there gets to be a huge differential, that would be negative for the pound. And the pound is already low enough. We don't want the pound going into something like a sterling crisis,
sure.
Which would happen with interest rate differentials. So, so for the moment, I'm feeling quite positive. And it's good that they're indicating there's going to be no surprises ahead.
OK, let's go on to Jean-Claude Juncker. He's been talking about Brexit. He says that the UK's divorce bill will be scientifically calculated. And he says the EU is not seeking to punish Britain, but he suggested the bill could be as much as 50 billion euros. What are your thoughts on this, Gary?
He's setting out his negotiating stall. We're about to go into a series of negotiations and you will hear things from both sides as they go into it, as they set out a position. Politics is the art of compromise. So there will have to be a compromise between us and the European Union over the next 2 years as we seek to leave the bloc. I suspect he won't be as high as 50 million. We've made commitments to fund certain projects in the EU. There will be pension obligations that we have been part of. So there will be a cost. You know, we're not going to walk away with this without paying anything. It makes sense. We just have to hope. I'm reassured by the fact that he's saying we don't want to punish Britain. It's not in anybody's interest for us to start burning bridges, either on our side or on their side. So I'm not, as you know, I'll put my cards on the table. I was a Remain voter, but I'm not as worried about Brexit as I potentially was a few months ago.
Do you think we could still get a fair bit of market volatility this year, that as the negotiations go on, as we have days when things seem to be going well, days when things seem to be going bad?
The headlines will be driving markets for a while. But for investors, and I hope the people listening are investors, you need to keep your eye on the prize and just not wander around with the day-to-day news flow, because it's going to be, not all of it is going to come to pass. These are positions for negotiations. It's what happens in the room in the end that really actually matters.
Deutsche Bank, the big German investment bank, also a retail bank in Germany, they've signed a 25-year lease on a new London building. Is this a vote of confidence in the post-Brexit city?
Well, it has to be interpreted as that, really. It's indication that they're not leaving. You know, shortly after Brexit, we had Wells Fargo as well taking a lease on a building. And as I said a few moments ago, you know, I don't really see an exodus from the city. There may be a few jobs and a few things going over towards the EU. But I think we'll come to a sensible agreement between the parties.
On a more negative note, the South African group, the Brake Group, they were planning to list on the London market. They've said today they're not going to do it now, and they are blaming their decision on Brexit uncertainty. So is that a sign that there will be at least a little bit of damage in the short term from Brexit?
Yes, but also, you know, retailers always blame the weather when something goes wrong, and that is not necessarily always the case.
True.
Everything will be blamed on Brexit from now to then. So you do have to, you know, not necessarily take with a pinch of salt, but you have to consider that Brexit is an easy thing to blame things on. You know, it's not an unsensible move, you know, waiting to find out what happens and the stability. They're headquartered in Luxembourg at the moment. They own Iceland and Virgin Active and New Look. So, you know, they're active in the UK. So it does make sense for them to be here. But, you know, it's not a huge disaster that they're sitting and being, you know, sensible and seeing what happens.
Thanks very much for joining me today. You've been listening to Gary White, Chief Investment Commentator at Charles Stanley Direct.